Hey, did you know we had over 80 kids here to WANT on Wednesday? I tell you what, 80 kids can make quite a ruckus. It's a good thing we got a lot of you to help us with those 80-some bundles of energy. God is good, amen? He's blessed us with such a beautiful day again. A beautiful week. You know, in 1977, I was back from college. I'd been to college a little while. I came back and went to work at Elray. And this week, it was Elray then. It's Bricks now. And it was a different building, and it was a major truck stop. And this weekend in 1977, it snowed like crazy. I didn't go that morning dressed for snow. Neither did my coworkers. And before, we had spent 8 hours in the snow. It was quite a day, but haven't we had a wonderful week? God has blessed us with such just a wonderful week, and I hope you've had a chance to get out and enjoy the fall and the colors, because I tell you what, they are magnificent. They are just abounding in beauty, and I hope you've had a chance to just bask in God's goodness. We're going to continue our series this morning of Fan or Follower. And I know this is week three of this series, and maybe you're here for the first time or second, or maybe you've been here for all three and you're wondering, when are we going to get done with this? Wherever you're at, we're going to continue on today with Fan or Follower. And really, I'm encouraged by your comments. Some of you have given me comments over the week, and I'm thanking God for this series, because some of you have said to me over the last couple of weeks, you know what, I'm really challenged by this, and I'm wondering, is my relationship with Jesus where it should be? And I would say that's probably my intent, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that we really, really examine ourselves and examine, are we where we should be with Jesus? And you might even say, well, why do we have to keep going over this? Well, let me just take us back to the Sermon on the Mount. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 7. This isn't where our sermon text is going to come from, but I'm going to take just a minute or two to answer that question. Why? Why do we keep looking at this topic? Why is it so important? So if you've got your Bible, open it up to Matthew 7. I want you to see these two little phrases from Jesus. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The first one comes from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. And last week we were joking about this because we didn't have any driveways. We were talking about entering in here the church parking lot by the narrow gate. Well, today it's not a joke. Because listen to the words of Jesus. And I'm just answering the why. Why do you keep beating this topic? Why do you keep going back to fan or follower? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I keep going back to the topic of, have we been born again? Are we passionate followers of Jesus? Are we still just fans sitting on the sideline watching Christianity going by? Maybe even saying I'm a Christian. Maybe even haven't been in church for a good long time, but have not been partakers of Jesus, have not surrendered completely to Jesus, and have not become His follower. Maybe this is one of the reasons why, because of what Jesus said. Many are they who go by the broad way and the wide gate. And few are those who find life eternal in Jesus. Jesus isn't saying that this is some elusive club. I don't believe at all that few get invited. I don't believe He's saying that at all. He is bidding us come. But what He is saying here, few take the time to become His follower. Few make the effort to exercise their faith and become His follower. And so few respond when they have invited. And we saw already some examples in here, and you know of lots more in the Gospels. He bid them, come, follow me. And what He's saying here is few are taking the invitation. And then, of course, in Matthew 7, 21, 2 and 3, we looked at that when we started this series. Let me just refer to specifically 22 today. 21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now look at 22. Many will say to me in that day, but Lord, we've already looked at these verses, so you know what they say. Many will say to me in that day, but Lord, and his reply to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus is simply saying here, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, that on that day, hear me now, on that day, many will have assumed I'm there. And are only going to hear the words, I don't know you. And so perhaps that's why I keep coming back to this idea of fan or follower. Because Jesus, when he bids us come, is calling us to be followers. Passionate, radically transformed, spirit-led followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so maybe that's why I keep revisiting this topic. Luke chapter 9 is where we're going to look today. And we're going to focus on verse 23 from Luke 9. But I'm going to set the stage a little bit for you. I'm going to begin at 18. You know, each sample that we've looked at of Scripture over this fan or follower series, we've seen masses of people. We've seen crowds. And then we've seen Jesus make statements. We're going to see it again this morning. Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him, and he asked them, saying, who do the crowd say that I am? This is not new to you. You know these verses. And so they answered and said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? He's starting to get personal. You see, he was inquiring about the crowds. Who do the crowds say that I am? Who do those crowds of 5,000 that we looked at the first week say that I am? When he questioned them, you're not here because you know who I am. You're here because I fed you. Or the crowds that last week we saw, he turned and looked directly at the crowds, the would-be followers, and said, unless you hate, he used the word, your husband, your wife, your children, your father, your mother, your brother and sister, you cannot be my disciple. And again today he's asking about, but what do the crowds, who do the crowds say that I am? And Peter, we know this story. Peter answered and said, in the New King James Version, the Christ of God. And he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell this to no man, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And then verse 23. Remember the stage setting question. Who do the crowd say that I am? Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, that's the safe, that's playing it safe. That's playing it on the sidelines. That's the fan. I'm not going to take this Christianity thing too radically because somebody might notice and somebody might ridicule me or somebody might challenge me in my faith. That's the ones playing it safe. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit, he throws out a couple of questions here for them to ponder. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world? If we've gained everything, but our soul is lost. Or whoever is ashamed of me and my works, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's. And of the holy angels. I want to read to you this verse 23 in the New Living Translation, then I'll expand on it just a little bit. Here's the New Living Translation. I love this translation for this verse. Then he said to the crowd, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. You see, friends, here is the very heart of God, I believe. Here is the very heart of God when he said, if anyone wants to be my follower, they're welcome to follow. But this word, if, is huge. It means it's decision time. If anyone, he's not saying this is some exclusive club. He's not saying, I'm just talking about Jews, I'm just talking about Pharisees, I'm just talking about you 12. He's talking about the crowds. Who are the crowds? Who do they say that I am? I want to know what they're saying. And then he says to his 12, but if anyone, that's us, that's people, that's human beings in general, if we will decide, if anyone, he says, will decide, they are welcome to come and be my follower. Excuse me. I believe there are a few simple words that are absolutely key in this verse. Anyone, deny, daily, and follow. I believe those are vitally important words. But they've got to go together. They've got to go together. If there's no denying of self, he said, you can't be my follower. We saw that last week. If there's no taking up of our cross daily and being willing to follow through thick and thin, through good and bad, you can't be my follower, he said. But he does say, this invitation is out. I'm bidding you to come. If anyone will decide, the if hinges on our decision to follow Jesus. He said, I'll take you. I'm bidding you come. But then he throws in these words about denying ourselves daily and following. I know I told you already this, that I've got this idea by Kyle Eidelman's book, Not a Fan, this fan-follower idea. And Pastor Kyle tells of a single divorced mother who sheepishly ventured into their church one day in Louisville, and she was feeling a little tentative. Hadn't been in church for a good long time, and the last church she was in, they threw her out because she was divorced. And so she was feeling a little tentative, and she come there as a single mom with her little boy, and one of the church ladies there saw that she was new, or looked a little bit scared or something, and just give her a little embrace and said, how can I help you? And she helped her get her son to the children's church in the other wing or downstairs or wherever the case was. And then she said the praise music was already singing in the sanctuary. They could hear that. And she invited her. She said, you wanna come in and worship with us? She said, you mean in there? Because I've been thrown out of there. I've been divorced, and they threw me out the last time. And she said, yeah, I mean in there. Let's go in there and worship. Into the sanctuary to worship Jesus. And the music was playing, and her emotions began to take hold of her. And after about 3-4 songs, she was weeping. And through Pastor Kyle's message, he was bidding her come. And many others, too. And the Spirit of God was bidding them come. Come. If anyone will come. And he didn't use these verses, I don't think. But she sensed the bidding of Jesus, come. And she gave her heart and her life to the Lord Jesus Christ that day and was born anew. Why? Because Jesus said, anyone. And yes, other people had labeled her, having a past, having a history, having a blemish. But Jesus said, if anyone, in these verses, brothers and sisters, if anyone. He was interested in what the crowds were saying, but he said to his disciples, if anybody will come after me, deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me, they are welcome to come and be my disciples. And a lot of times we fall into that trap, friends. We think, well, drug addicts, he said anyone. Sexually immoral, he said anyone. And all these labels, divorced, tax collectors in Matthew's day, Jesus said, come and follow me. And so I want us to get a couple of things today, friends. First of all, Jesus bids come to anyone. He bids come to everyone. But when he bids us come follower, he reminds us in this passage when we decide that if it means it's decision time for us, and if we decide we've got to deny ourselves, take up our own cross and follow, and that will probably mean some changes. It will mean saying no to sin. We saw that before. That's the deny yourself. Do you know what deny yourself means? Give me your hand if you know. If you got a pretty good understanding, you know what deny yourself means. Let me help you out of here just a little bit. What this phrase really, really means in this passage is we are willing, literally, to become slaves of Jesus. Still interested? That's what he says. I'm still interested too. But he says, when I am bidding followers to come, but you've got to be willing to deny yourself. It literally means becoming my slave. That's what this phrase means. You say, Jim, I don't like the word slave. Well, I know it's got some negative connotations to it. I know it seems like a downer. But this is what Jesus is saying to us. He's not saying you can be a fan on the sideline and be my follower. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to be willing to become my slave and follow. This is not a negative thing to be the slave of Jesus. This idea literally comes from Deuteronomy, when a slave was to be set free at the end of their slavery, so to speak, and he chose to stay with the owner, the master. There's a term in the Old Testament for that. They call that becoming a bond slave. What does that mean? It means I'm doing this willingly. That's what this phrase means. I'm doing this willingly. I'm staying with the master. I'm staying with him. I'm willing daily to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus. I'm doing this willingly. That's what that bond slave means. That's what Jesus was asking people to become, his slaves, his servants. Let me give you, our time is going so quickly. Let me give you a quick illustration from Matthew 19, and we'll try to wrap it up here. Remember that story about the rich young ruler? You remember him, don't you? The rich young ruler said to him, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And they had a discussion about that. The commandments came up, and this, that, and the other thing. And we get to Matthew 19:21. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven." And then he says, "And come, follow me." You see, he laid out the same invitation he laid for everybody else. But what happened? The Bible says, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You wouldn't think sorrowful and great possessions would be in the same sentence. But why was it in the same sentence? Because Jesus said to deny yourself. Put your own agenda behind you. Put your own will behind you. Jesus didn't say it was wrong to be rich. Matter of fact, he may have blessed him with riches if he'd have followed him. We don't know that. But he said, "You've got to put me first." He said, "You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross daily and follow." And the Bible says the young man went away sad. He couldn't do it. You see, this man was an enthusiastic admirer. Saw Jesus from the sidelines. "Yeah, I think I'm interested in that. I think I want to follow him." But when he challenged him to come be my follower, and he challenged him with, he knew where his heart was. This particular one just happened to have a lot of wealth. He couldn't follow. He couldn't become a follower. He was still just a fan. Just a fan, observing it from some distance, from some arm's length. And so we've got all kinds of examples about, are we willing to deny ourselves? Are we willing to take up our cross and follow him? You see, friends, I've said it over and over and over, it's a heart condition. Does my heart really say, "I'm willing to follow Jesus"? Remember what we said last week? There's no way to follow Jesus without him interfering with your life. It was going to interfere with the young fellow's life. It was going to interfere with his riches. And if he was going to follow Jesus, he's going to have to set that attitude aside. You see what he's saying to his friends? God, I said this from week one, does not want just casual observers. He does not want lukewarm attitudes. He wants passionate followers of Jesus who have been born again, who are willing to deny ourselves, who are willing to take up our cross and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you have for me, I will do it. Yes, Lord. I surrender my agenda." The young man wasn't willing to surrender. He wasn't willing to deny himself. He wasn't willing to become a slave of Jesus. He wanted to in thought, but he couldn't get there. He felt there was, apparently he felt, at least at that time, maybe he got there later, but he felt there's too great a cost. I can't give it up. That's why Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am? Who are the crowd saying that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And he lays out the invitation, if anyone, I'm bidding come to these crowds. I'm bidding come. You see these crowds. We've seen three different sets of crowds now. I'm bidding come to these crowds. And if anyone will choose, the if is contingent on our faith, exercising our faith in Christ. If anyone will come and deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, he said they will be his followers. And so you see, friends, when we genuinely call him Lord, it means he is master and we are simply his slaves. Let me close with this. Many won't go there. You still with me? Time's almost up. I know you're getting drowsy. Many won't go there. We just saw it in Matthew 5. Enter in at the narrow gate. Wide is the gate and broad the road that leads to destruction, and many are on the road to destruction. But friends, listen to me. Many won't go there. Many won't deny themselves, won't be willing to take up our cross, are not willing to follow. Jesus said it in the Sermon on the Mount. Many won't go there. And tragically, friends, listen to me. Many think they already are. We saw it in Matthew 7:22. Many think they already are followers. And Jesus is bidding us come. Deny ourselves completely. Take up our cross and follow. What does that mean? It means I need to surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to confess my sin. Repent. Recognize I'm a sinner, invite Jesus Christ into my life, and let Him lead. He's the master, I am not. He is the master, we are the servants. And so, friends, remember this, many won't get there. Not because of the grace of God, because they weren't willing, like the rich young man, to say no to their agenda. Jesus said it in Matthew 7, many won't get there. Few only will find Jesus. And many think they already are. And Jesus' only words for them are, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Friends, I just want to ask again to be sure that you know Jesus Christ as Lord. Be sure that you've surrendered to Him. Be sure that you're willing to deny yourself. Be sure that you're willing to take up your cross every day and follow the Master, because that's what He is, our Master.